From national news in D.C. to behind-the-scenes coverage of the Nebraska Capitol, this is your Capitol Connection. And now, bringing the Capitol to you, here's your host, Nate Groz.
And welcome to Capitol Connection, where we are bringing the Capitol to you every week from the Nebraska Family Alliance Studio in Lincoln, covering the issues that matter most, family, freedom, and life. And this week, there is so much that can be said and needs to be said about the much anticipated and covered hearings on Judge Kavanaugh, President Trump's nominee to the United States Supreme Court, and the allegations of sexual assault and misconduct that have come out against him. And it was all aired out on national TV, and it was incredibly, incredibly difficult to watch, both the testimony from Dr. Ford, who has accused Judge Kavanaugh of the sexual assault, and also from Judge Kavanaugh, who delivered an incredibly moving, emotional, and powerful defense. And I think as people, the conversations that I have had, as they watched the testimony from both Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh, they found them both compelling, both emotional, both believable. But there are a lot of questions and very little evidence to support these claims. In fact, still to date, not even anyone who can corroborate any of the claims that have been made against Judge Kavanaugh. And so what I want to say on this, and we've got some clips we're going to play from some really powerful moments from the hearing, but I think it's important from the top to say that every single accuser deserves to be heard and treated fairly. Sexual assault allegations should always be taken seriously. But the accused also should be taken seriously and treated fairly. And you don't lose the presumption of innocence because there's an R next to your name instead of a D. What we need is fairness and respect on both sides, and good people, people of faith who are willing to stand for truth and righteousness in the public square. But the way that certain senators were handling these allegations made it pretty clear that the driving objective here was not the truth, but politics. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said it last week, Democrats and their allies were trying to destroy a man's personal and professional life on the basis of decades-old allegations that are unsubstantiated and uncorroborated, and Judge Kavanaugh let them have it for doing that. And because he knows that the only people who could corroborate those claims have in fact denied that they ever happened. And there so far has not even been a single third-party witness to any claim that could corroborate any accuser or even conclusively place Kavanaugh at the location of any alleged crime. But again, the allegations were incredibly serious. They deserved to be taken seriously, and they were. But if wholly unproven allegations can sink someone like Judge Kavanaugh, it will set a standard where good men will be hounded out of public service. Sexual assault is always wrong, and it is disqualifying. Everyone agrees on that. But it would be a sad day for our country if decades-old allegations that remain unproven and uncorroborated can derail someone's career and life's work. And Democrat senators have been looking and using anything they possibly could come up with or get their hands on to try and delay the confirmation as soon as it was announced, because they can't fathom a second Trump nominee being on the Supreme Court. And so they want to obstruct and destroy in hopes that they can win back the Senate before the nomination can go through and block any future nominee from being confirmed. That's what this comes down to. And our Senator Ben Sasse, who sits on the Judiciary Committee and has had a front row seat throughout this whole process, he spoke on this during the hearing, and he almost even struggled. You could see that he was visibly upset and emotional watching both of these testimonies, but he didn't hold back when it was finally his turn to get to speak during the portion of the hearing in which Judge Kavanaugh was present. And he ends up basically having to cut himself off He was so flustered and upset walking through the process of what has happened. And so this is what Senator Ben Sasse shared when he spoke on the United States Judiciary Committee during the Judge Kavanaugh hearing just a few days ago.
Judge, we did 38 hours in public with you. Did we have any private hearings with you?
Yes.
Was that a fun time for you? When people and senators could ask questions that are awkward or uncomfortable about potential alcoholism, potential gambling addiction, credit card debt, if your buddies floated you money to buy baseball tickets. Did you enjoy that time we spent in here late one night?
I'm always happy to cooperate with the committee.
That's charitable. Were you ever asked about any sexual allegations when we had that time in here with you alone?
No.
Did the ranking member already have these allegations for, I guess this would have been September 6 or 7, and the letter was written on July 30th? A recommendation was made by the ranking member or her staff to Dr. Ford. And by the way, I think Dr. Ford is a victim, and I think she's been through hell, and I'm very sympathetic to her. Did the ranking member's staff, did we hear today, make a recommendation to hire a lawyer and she knew all of that? And yet we had a hearing here with you and none of these things were asked. But then once the process was closed, once the FBI investigation was closed, once we were done meeting in public and in private, then this was sprung on you. I just want to make sure I have the dates correct, right? Because we got 35 plus days from all the time that this evidence was in the hands. Recommendations were made to an outside lawyer. You could have handled all this. We could have had this conversation in private in a way that didn't not only do crap to his family, but do all... I yield my time.
So there you go. You can hear and sense the frustration coming from Senator Sasse and his anger, but he was still measured in his statement, which I appreciated him acknowledging that he believes Dr. Ford is a victim and that she has been through hell. And I agree with that. And what has concerned me this whole time, how this whole process has played out and been handled, you know, even last week before the hearing, we had Democrat senators coming out and saying that Judge Kavanaugh bears the burden of disproving the allegations. Whether you believe the accuser or not, that's not how it works in America. And I guess it's maybe not all that surprising that they would say that, but it should really cause great concern for people of the United States that are United States senators, people elected to uphold, protect, and defend the Constitution, would so quickly abandon constitutional rights because the accused is of a different political party than they are. Republicans delayed the vote. They had a hearing to allow these allegations to be heard that were considered and vetted. And that was the right thing to do, to hear from both sides. But you are entitled to a fair trial in America. You have the right to face your accuser. You are presumed innocent until proven guilty. And Democrat senators did not want to afford any of those things to Judge Kavanaugh. We are not governed by mob rule and character assassination in the United States. This is why we need men and women of character, regardless of political party, who are willing to do the right thing, to treat both sides with dignity and respect and fairness in all circumstances. This whole Supreme Court nomination process is a reflection of where we are at as a country politically and culturally, and it is extremely, extremely concerning. And, you know, throughout the hearing, I don't think anyone showed a greater sense of righteous indignation than Senator Lindsey Graham from South Carolina, who did not hold back. It was a blistering take. I've never heard anything like it from a United States senator. It was riveting, and I'll let his comments speak for themselves. You may have heard them already, but if you have, they're worth listening to again. And if you haven't, you need to hear what Senator Graham had to say, because watching it live, like many other people, I was left speechless. This was Lindsey Graham's statement from the hearing regarding Judge Kavanaugh and his accuser, Dr. Ford, and how the process has been handled.
At 9:23, on the night of July the 9th, the day you were nominated to the Supreme Court, by President Trump, Senator Schumer said, 23 minutes after your nomination, I will oppose Judge Kavanaugh's nomination with everything I have. I have a bipartisan, and I hope a bipartisan majority will do the same. The stakes are simply too high for anything less. Well, if you weren't aware of it, you are now. Did you meet with Senator Dianne Feinstein on August 20th?
I did meet with Senator Feinstein.
Did you know that her staff had already recommended a lawyer to Dr. Ford?
I did not know that.
Did you know that her and her staff had this allegations for over 20 days?
I did not know that at the time.
If you wanted an FBI investigation, you could have come to us. What you want to do is destroy this guy's life, hold this seat open, and hope you win in 2020. You've said that, not me. You've got nothing to apologize for. When you see Sotomayor and Kagan, tell them that Lindsey said hello, because I voted for them. I would never do to them what you've done to this guy. This is the most unethical sham since I've been in politics. And if you really wanted to know the truth, you sure as hell wouldn't have done what you've done to this guy. Are you a gang rapist?
No.
I cannot imagine what you and your family have gone through. Boy, y'all want power. God, I hope you never get it. I hope the American people can see through this sham, that you knew about it and you held it. You had no intention of protecting Dr. Ford. None. She's as much of a victim as you are. God, I hate to say it, because these have been my friends. But let me tell you, when it comes to this, you're looking for a fair process. You came to the wrong town at the wrong time, my friend. Do you consider this a job interview?
The advice and consent role is like a job
interview. You consider that you've been through a job interview.
I've been through a process of advice and consent under the Constitution. Would you say
you've been through hell?
I've been through hell and then some.
This is not a job interview.
Yeah.
This is hell.
This
is going to destroy the ability of good people to come forward because of this crap. To my Republican colleagues, if you vote no, you're legitimizing the most despicable thing I have seen in my time in politics. You want this seat? I hope you never get it. I hope you're on the Supreme Court. That's exactly where you should be. And I hope that the American people will see through this charade. And I wish you well, and I intend to vote for you, and I hope everybody who's fair-minded will.
As I said, I will let Senator Graham's comments speak for themselves. And this was really an extraordinary moment in American history. And I don't know how this is all going to play out. But I would also say that, like every single Supreme Court confirmation and nomination, this is about Roe versus Wade. And what I mean by that is the right to abortion was created judicially, thereby taking the great moral and social issue of our time out of the political process, out of the hands of the people, and into the hands of the Supreme Court. And because of this incredibly divisive battle that should be decided by the people has to be fought again and again and again over nominations to the Supreme Court through a confirmation process that has become increasingly politicized. And it was made very clear from the moment that President Trump made his selection of Brett Kavanaugh that that's what this was going to be about. They fear that Judge Kavanaugh is a fifth pro-life vote on the Supreme Court, so they will do anything they can to stop his nomination, including destroying his name, reputation, life's work over entirely unproved and uncorroborated claims. And the Democrats didn't even hide this. Senator Hirono from Hawaii basically said just as much in an interview with CNN last week when she cited Kavanaugh's supposed outcome-driven legal philosophy as her reason to deny him due process, specifically highlighting abortion cases. And that is as blatantly false as it is wrong. Saying that you don't believe someone and that they bear the burden of proof because you don't like their legal philosophy, specifically their legal philosophy on the issue of abortion, they have made the message abundantly clear that pro-life people need not apply. And so I am nervous for our country should President Trump get to make a third appointment to the Supreme Court, not because of who he would pick. He has been phenomenal in keeping his promise of appointing judges who are originalists, people who are committed to the Constitution and interpreting the law and not making the law. But I'm nervous for what the reaction would be. If we think that this is bad and it's been awful, can you imagine the division and unrest if President Trump got to fill a Justice Ginsburg seat? I'm not sure what would happen if that were to come to pass, but there would be mass hysteria. This whole process has lacked civility and civil discourse. And when that happens, we all lose. We can and must do better. And so I played a clip of Senator Sasse's remarks from the most recent hearing. But actually, what I really wanted to share today was another clip of our executive director at Nebraska Family Alliance, Karen Bowling, who actually had the opportunity to interview Senator Sasse a few weeks ago during the original hearing for Judge Kavanaugh before any of the allegations came out. And we had the most recent hearing with both Dr. Ford and Judge Kavanaugh. Karen had the opportunity to get to talk to Senator Sasse about this issue and the lack of civility and civil discourse as it comes to politics and what we've been seeing and perhaps have become almost accustomed to surrounding the confirmation and nomination process and what it's doing to us as a nation and what should and should not be the center of our lives. So this is what Senator Sasse had to say when speaking with NFA's executive director, Karen Bowling, a few weeks ago.
Senator Sasse, you noted that we must and can do better, that it's imperative that we have civil discourse among political views.
Hear, hear. I mean, the most important things in life, and therefore the most important things in America, come from persuasion. They come from volunteerism. They come from persuading people to join your church. They come from persuading people to buy your product or to join your company to design that great new app or mousetrap. It comes from persuading people to join your venture philanthropy project at the Rotary or Kiwanis or Lions Club. So America is about love. America is about neighborliness. Government is necessary, but government is limited because government is about power, and we don't want to solve most things that people disagree about by power. You want to allow people to have different views and try to live their lives in peace. And so most of America is not about government. And right now, the Congress doesn't do its job because so many people just want career incumbency. They just want to get reelected. And the left in particular, you mentioned the comments I made yesterday about the assistant deputy administrator of plant quarantine at the USDA. There are a bunch of things that could never be passed through the Congress, but the left would like to advance as environmental regulation. Well, it makes it hard for Nebraska farmers and ranchers to pay the bills and to love their neighbor and to feed the world. Well, those hard issues need to be netted out in politics, and politics should be modest and slow moving so that you can preserve a bigger space for persuasion, volunteerism, community, and love.
Wise words that I think are important to share and maybe even more relevant now, given everything that has taken place over this past week. And now we do have some positive pro-life news that we wanted to share on the show today, and another strong, correct move from the Trump administration, who announced this last week that they have canceled an existing contract that the FDA had involving using fetal tissue for research. And they announced that they are also now performing a comprehensive review of all research involving fetal tissue. And this is important because the government should not be supporting research that utilizes the body parts of children whose lives have been violently ended by abortion. In a statement, the Department of Health and Human Services said they are now conducting an audit of all acquisitions involving human fetal tissue to ensure conformity with procurement and human fetal tissue research laws and regulations. The review will consider the serious regulatory, moral, and ethical considerations involved. And of course, fetal tissue is generally obtained through abortions. More than 80 House Republicans wrote a letter to the FDA earlier this month calling for the cancellation of the contract that required fetal tissue for research. And they said that unborn children are not commodities to be bought and sold. The practice of conducting research using the body parts of children whose lives have been violently ended by abortion is abhorrent. It's really issues like this and, you know, weeks like this where you've got a contentious confirmation hearing and ugliness all around, and there's a struggle for truth and justice that leave you bewildered and scratching your head sometimes. But there are good people across the state of Nebraska and across the country who are working to preserve our constitutional liberties and foundational principles and uphold and protect the Constitution and protect innocent life and ensure that every American is free to live and work according to their religious beliefs. That's what we are fighting for at Nebraska Family Alliance, and that's what we will be celebrating coming up very soon on October 26th for our 30th anniversary gala, and it is really shaping up to be the social conservative event of the year, and we want to make sure that you have it on your calendar to attend on October 26th in Lincoln at the Embassy Suites. It's going to be a celebration, and it's going to be fun, and it's going to be inspiring because we literally have some of the most courageous and foremost religious freedom advocates in the entire country who are coming to celebrate with us and speak to us that evening. Like Kelvin Cochran, a former decorated fire chief from Atlanta who was fired solely because of his Christian beliefs, and Baronel Stutzman, a small business owner and florist from Washington whose case over her religious freedom and your religious freedom is still ongoing, and of course, Jack Phillips, our good friend, the Christian cake baker from Colorado who recently won his case at the United States Supreme Court and less than a month later found himself being slapped with another complaint filed against him from the Colorado Civil Rights Commission, the same group that sued him the first time and sparked a 6-year legal battle, which ultimately ended with a favorable ruling for Jack Phillips and a smackdown of the Civil Rights Commission by the Supreme Court in a 7-2 decision. But they came back at him again over the same thing, and he's being targeted because of his Christian faith and his religious beliefs, and he is going to come share about his trials and tribulations and his journey. And so this is a great opportunity to show your support for them. We want to give them a big welcome in Nebraska, but also be encouraged and inspired by their stories and what they've experienced and what they can teach all of us about standing strong for our beliefs and convictions, even in the face of great adversity. And we are even going to have a very special VIP reception with Kelvin and Baronel and Jack and attorneys from Alliance Defending Freedom who will be there so you can meet them personally. It's going to be an incredible evening. We don't want you to miss it. October 26th, Friday night. It's the Embassy Suites in Lincoln. You can find all of the event details, information, and purchase tickets on our website at NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. That's NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. It's going to be such a special evening, and we would love for you to be a part of it. So make sure you get your tickets while they're still available. And that's going to be all the time we have for this week. As always, for more information, you can visit NebraskaFamilyAlliance.org. I'm your host, Nate Graz, Policy Director for Nebraska Family Alliance, hoping you will join us again next week. Thanks for listening to your Capital Connection.